Deeds Without Words, brought to you by the Office of National Service under the United States Maritime Commission. Deeds Without Words brings you the true stories of soldiers, seamen, flyers, and workers who count no price, even life itself, too high to pay for victory in this war. They have made heavy sacrifices and ask only for another chance at our enemies so that those who are now enslaved may be free and starvation, disease, death, and slavery may never approach American shores. They know America can win if every American works with his heart, his head, and his hands. Work together, win together. Rid the world of Jap and Nazi beasts who drink the lifeblood of peace-loving people. This is the story of Victor Haggis. It is something you might expect to read in a book, only this is real. You aren't listening to a radio play dreamed up by someone with a vivid imagination. You are hearing truth. Living your daily life, much as you've always done, going to work in the morning and coming back to your home and your family in the evening, sitting in your comfortable living room, it's hard to realize that things could be any different. It's hard to realize that they could change swiftly and horribly. Yet not so long ago, the people of a little town of Wembley in England were going about their daily lives just as you are now. They were doing about the same things that you and your family are doing. Then one evening came the drone of Nazi planes, the shriek of air raid sirens, and no practice routine this time. This was the real thing. In the distance, gunfire and the dull thud of bombs, growing louder now, falling closer, earth-shaking crashes. Oh, yes, you've heard about air raids. So had the people of Wembley. But now it was actually happening, and to them, one moment a quiet, peaceful town, the next confusion and chaos, destruction and death descending from the skies, roaring flames started by incendiaries, billowing upward, spreading from house to house, turning the darkness into a blood-red glare. And finally, when it was all over.
What's the matter, Sonny?
I want my mommy.
Well, now, don't cry. We'll find your mother. Where do you live? Look, my name is Victor Haggis. Tell me where you live and I'll take you home. Where's your house?
That's it right there.
Oh. Looks like it was almost a direct hit.
My mommy. My mommy's in there. She went upstairs to get my little sister. She didn't come out.
Oh, no. Maybe she did. Maybe she got out and you didn't see her. Well, we'll find her. And your little sister, too. Come on now, thumbs up. You're too big a fella to cry. Got a father?
Yes.
Where's he?
I don't know.
Well, what's his name? Maybe if we...
I see you, young man. There. That wall's toppled down any minute.
Well, there's people in there. His mother and little sister. You've got to help me. We've got to find him. We've got to get him out.
We can't do anything until the crew get here. Now, get back. Stand clear, I tell you, before that wall goes.
Put his mother and little sister in there. If you won't help me...
I don't know you don't. You want to get killed? Now, stay back here.
I want my mommy. I want my mommy.
Oh, no, it wasn't an important raid. Some damage, some casualties, but not important. The newspapers gave it only a few lines. And if you read about it at all, you probably put down your newspaper with a yawn and wondered what movie was showing at your neighborhood theater that evening. The town of Wembley bombed, but Wembley was a long way off. And anyhow, the whole thing hardly seemed real to you. Human beings like yourself, trapped in blazing ruins. Human bodies ripped by bomb fragments, seared by flames, crushed under falling debris. No, you couldn't imagine it. But to 14-year-old Victor Haggis, who had seen it, it was real, real and important. And some days later, as he was talking to his older brother.
But what good did it do the Nazis to bomb that little beggar's house and kill his mother and baby sister? That isn't cricket, making war on women and kids.
A lot of Nazis care. What was that bunch, Grinch? Oh, yes, yes, yes. But don't you worry. We'll pay them back.
But they started it. They came over first.
And we'll end it. We'll end the whole Nazi breed. Here, hold the wheel so it won't turn when I put on this knot, eh?
All right.
We'll give them every bit as good as they've given us and a little better. You just wait till I get into the RAF.
You know, I might be joining up with the Air Force myself.
Well, I'm afraid the Air Force isn't taking them in your size. It'd be too much trouble to supply them with nursing bottles.
Oh, would it now?
Just hand me a tire pump, eh? I hope this rubber will hold. You better take care of this bicycle. Last one you'll have for a while, you know. No, my lad, you're a little short for the RAF in inches and years.
Well, I'll get in some branch of the service.
Yes? What would you do then?
I'd fight.
What, with only one hand?
I've got two hands.
Oh, but you'll need the other one to hold up your diapers.
Even if I am only 14 years old, I'm strong for my age. Look at that muscle.
Where?
Right here. This lump here in my arm.
Oh, so that's what it is. Muscle. I thought a bug had bitten you. There. There you are. Now take your bicycle and get along with you. War is for men.
Not the way Hitler fights it. He fights kids, too. Little kids. Kids a lot littler than I am. Kids like that boy whose mother and baby sister were killed.
Well, you are hopping about it, aren't you? Well, your turn to get in a few blows might come at that. Sometime before this war's over.
I'm not waiting until sometime. Hitler's picked out who he wants to fight, and he's picked kids. Well, when those kids fight back, he can just remember. He asked for it.
Victor Haggis didn't wait until sometime. On the following morning, just as it was growing light, he stole out of the house, hopped on his bicycle, and set off for the seacoast to apply for a job on a merchant ship. For some reason he can't explain, he became a trifle confused about his age, and quite innocently, of course, added on a few years. Anyhow, he got the job. He had made two cruises and was on his third when one day it happened, a Nazi torpedo. But the ship, being an oil tanker and empty, remained afloat for a time. Meanwhile, on deck.
Here, you Haggis.
Yes, sir.
Where do you think you're going?
I'm helping on a 4-inch gun, sir.
You're going below.
But, sir.
The gun crew is capable of manning the 4-inch gun. Now you get below.
Look out, doctor. See, sir, I went to the Royal Navy School when I was a kid. I understand 4-inch guns. I can be a big help.
Are you arguing with me?
Oh, no, sir.
Then you do as you're told and get below.
Doctor! If one of the gun crew should be hit, hurt, or killed, I could step right in and...
I am giving you an order, Haggis.
But please, sir, this is what I shipped for. This is why I joined up. Have a go at the Nazis.
Will you do as I
said? I made two cruises. Two cruises, sir. All the way to Halifax and back to England. Without even fighting a Nazi. I've been wasting time. If I don't have a go at them now, I may never have another chance. I came all the way from Wembley, sir, just to...
Wembley?
Yes, sir. It's where I live.
Oh.
We've been bombed there twice. And I was in London one time when they came over. I've seen the Nazis at their game, sir. It doesn't make any difference to them who gets it, that it's a military objective or a house, or hospital, or a school. I've seen them kill women and little kids and babies.
I know, but...
And I've been just waiting. Just waiting to have a go at them. Please let me, sir. Please let me.
And Haggis had his go at the Nazis, at the breach of a 4-inch gun. But the unequal battle lasted only an hour, and then came the order to abandon the crippled tanker. Now we find them in the lifeboat.
Yeah, they're firing at it.
Yes. Those Jerry's are nice people. I've met them before.
The rats that let the whole Atlantic Ocean into our ship, and then they ain't satisfied. They want to let Spencer into all the crew.
We'll pay them back 10 times over for every pound of lead they throw.
Soon the Nazis tired of their sport. And Haggis, with the other survivors, set sail for Bermuda. Rations consisted of 4 small biscuits a day, 2 inches of water in a little cup. After 5.5 days, they were picked up by a Dutch freighter. In the freighter's cabin, next day.
Yeah, I guess just before this Dutchman picked us up, I was going a little batty. I looked up, and what do you think I see?
A whole flock of turkeys.
Turkeys? Out in the middle of the ocean?
Yeah, and that ain't all. Every one of them was roasted to a turn and covered with cranberry sauce.
Well, our troubles are over now, Hanson.
Sure, we'll be back in New York in a couple of days.
Yes, and I've got a date.
A date? Listen to the small fry.
Oh, I have. You wait and see. Have a bit of luck, she'll meet me at the dock.
Yeah? Who'll meet you?
It's nice with a perambulator.
What?
Hey, you know the first thing I'm going to do when we get back to New York?
Yeah, I know what you're going to do. And the biggest torpedo the Nazis, the Japs ever made, couldn't stop you. Find yourself a berth on another boat.
I say, look here, a phonograph.
Well, what do you know? All the comforts are home. Any records?
Yes, a lot of them.
Well, that's it. Yeah, some good ones, too. Here, put this one on, Haggis. Love's Own Sweet Song.
Ah, that's a corny number. Now, here's one with some class. Why don't we do this more often?
We'll play it second. Here. Love's Own Sweet Song.
Ah, now, why don't we do this more often?
Love's Own Sweet Song.
Why don't we do this more often?
A torpedo. We've been hit.
There you go, Hampton. Giving the Nazis ideas. Why don't we do this more often? Well, they did it.
Well, here we are. Back in the lifeboat again.
Yes. Getting positively monotonous.
Yeah. These times are good chowing at quite a toll.
Humiliating, I call it. Especially when we're here because of some Jerry who has to do stuff when he walks and straight on every picture of Adolf Hitler he sees.
We'll have our turn, kid.
Yeah. But a shrimp like you ain't got no business being at sea anyway.
I've got the same business here as the rest of you. We're out to beat the Nazis. And we will. They can torpedo us and shell us and machine gun us and kill us. There's one thing they can't do. As long as we have ships, they can't stop us. I say, let's get started.
Started for where?
For New York. I've got a date.
And now, Victor Haggard.
Well, friends, as you've already guessed, we got to New York all right. I was very late for my date. But she was not very angry when I explained. Ships at sea in wartime do not always arrive exactly on schedule. Some of them don't arrive at all, and that's bad. It helps the Jerrys and the Japs. When Hitler made war on women and children, and even babies, I had to get into it. I chose the sea, I guess, because, well, it seemed to me that I've heard enough about those battles lost because of too little and too late. The men at the front needed supplies. They still need them. If they get them, they win. If they don't, they lose. And when they lose anywhere, you lose. We seamen will get the tanks and planes and guns and supplies to the fighting men. If you build the tanks, planes, guns, and supplies, and the ships to carry them in, we are ready to go anywhere in the world. Are you ready to put your backs into it and give us what we need to do it with, to go with? We can win this war by proving that we are good enough to win it. So there you are. Let's prove that we are good enough to win this war, and we will have victory. Now, I know that I'm too young to tell you what to do, but maybe I can speak for all the children, not only those in conquered Europe, but the children in your own family. Hitler has the names of your children on his bombs. We must beat him first.